Haciendo Odio. And welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This is your source for a lack of insight and baseless opinion. Today is October 28th, 2013. This is episode 57. And I'm Scott Magnus, and I'm here with my color commentator, Jake English. You can find us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. You should also check us out on baltimoresportsreport.com/network because we're part of the Baltimore Sports Report Network, along with wonderful commentators such as Oriole Spastic, Section 336, Baltimoreans, and some hockey podcasts that, you know, you're not really interested in that. Just skip past that.
And the BSR podcast.
And the BSR podcast. But, you know, those guys are big-time players as it is, so I don't want to mention them. Us lowly troglodytes that are in their shadows need to be elevated up to the rafters in order to stand one side by side. Right there with the number one podcast, Section 336.
Are you going to get poetic on tonight's show?
That's a possibility. But other places you should check us out is on iTunes. You can also follow us on other programs such as Miro, Stitcher, Double Twist, Creamsicle, Barnyard.
You know, I think at this point somebody's going to make an app called Creamsicle just for
you. I'll tell you, Creamsicle would be a winner. Ice cream sandwich.
All right, what about social media?
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/BEVcast. And you should be following us on Twitter at Bird's Eye View BAL. That's right, Bird's Eye View BAL, where you'll get your sarcastic and cynical comments all the way through this offseason.
And a little bit of crying.
Not really much crying anymore. We're in sarcasm and cynicism mode.
I see.
All right, Jake, it comes to your favorite segment now of this whole podcast, which is the drink of the week. So, Jake, what am I forcing you to drink right now?
I don't know. It's got an orange label, and it's Belgian.
Okay, but it's not really Belgian.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's brewed in Colorado.
It's a Shock Top Belgian White.
Look, I'm sorry that I forced you to drink this. Oh, I'm sorry, it's St. Louis, Missouri. So I'm sorry I'm making you drink this, but I'm cleaning out my fridge, and this was the only thing left. So since you have no palate or taste buds, I figured bottoms up. You've got to prepare for this weekend and for weeks to come.
I tell you what, free beer often tastes the best.
Speaking of which, and events coming up, we have an event coming up this Saturday, which will involve lots of drinking and, well, lots of drinking.
But do tell.
We will be participating in the Baltimore Sports Report Cornhole Tournament. That doesn't mean that just us celebrities can participate. Even you can attend, and you can go against such formidable opponents such as Bird's Eye View, such secondary opponents such as Section 336, and I would say tertiary opponents such as Oriole Spastics, but yeah, they're rooting for the Redskins. They don't really have anything else to do right now but cry and be miserable rooting for RG3, whose other knee, I think, blew out yesterday.
I'm really glad you got tertiary out of the way now, because later on the podcast and a few drink of the weeks later, you're not going to be able to get that one out.
Yeah, well, I'll wait till I get quaternary out. I mean, that's probably the Baltimoreans.
So, yeah, the Baltimore Sports Report Cornhole Tournament is going to be a lot of fun. It is, November 2nd? It's going to be at the Green Turtle in Pasadena.
Yep, go to the Green Turtle in Pasadena. Pre-register ahead of time on baltimoresportsreport.com. It is $20 per team. And best part of all, the winner of the tournament gets tickets Thanksgiving night to Ravens, Steelers, and MNT. I can't think of a better prize for anyone as a Baltimore sports fan.
It's pretty good.
It's not just pretty good. It's really good.
I thought maybe like a hug from me would be a top prize, but it did not make it.
That's the booby prize. That's if you win the loser's bracket, okay?
Consolation.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like the Sacco from the league, basically.
That's right. I'll take that. But no, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Speaking about finishing last place, by the way, great job in fantasy football so far.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you bringing that up. No problem. All six people that listen are now going to know how terrible I am.
Yeah, I don't really seem to think it was possible for someone to score like 40 points in fantasy football, but hell, you impressed me.
Hey, I make things happen, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm a mover and a shaker, except when it comes to fantasy.
I'm just glad that your wife is able to double your point total on a week in and week out basis.
She,
let's just say that she's more of a man than you ever be.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. Hey, is that the only event that we should be hawking at this point?
Yeah, we're going to be hosting another event with, well, let's just say it's everyone's largest and favorite Orioles fan at the ballpark.
Who is this masked man?
Let's just say that he'd be willing to give you the shirt off his back if he had one.
But not in Yankee Stadium.
But not in Yankee Stadium, because they'll forcibly make him remove his mask. Yes, everyone, we're talking about the luchador himself, Carne Cabeza, who will be holding an event on November 23rd called The Guzzle and Gobble. And we're going to actually be hosting a portion of this day, and it's going to be called The Wobble Gobble. Yes, folks, The Wobble Gobble. And you might be asking yourself, what exactly is... Oh, I'm sorry, it's a gobble wobble instead of a wobble gobble. But I think it kind of is mutually exclusive at this point.
You're already screwing this up, Scott. You're already screwing this up.
Well, that's actually good, because the whole sense and theme of it is to go out there and celebrate with your fellow man by getting as drunk as hell at five Federal Hill bars in that area. So it's gonna be a good time. I've got a few ideas planned.
Oh, no.
Some giveaways will be had.
Oh, no.
And let's just say that there'll be some drinks be occurring. But we've got to thank Carne Cabeza for including this, including us in this matter. We also have to bring attention to the charity that this is all going towards, which is Movember. And Jake, did you want to describe what Movember actually is? Because it's not just something that Carne basically came up with and said, I replace an N with an M. This is a pretty big... national movement occurring.
Well, yeah, I think that Movember really needs little explanation. I mean, it's kind of picked up strength throughout the years. Basically, it's a global charity, and their mission statement says that their vision is to have an impact on the face of men's health. And see, that's a joke.
It's like a double entendre?
Yeah, but wow. It's not a dirty joke. So anyway,
it could be a dirty joke if it's like putting something on a man's face.
The point there is to raise awareness for men's...
Because I would put something on your face.
All right. To raise awareness for men's health issues and to raise money, therefore. And so it's also, Scott, an excuse to grow ridiculous and silly facial hair. And I think that you and I can agree that any excuse to grow ridiculous, silly facial hair is well worth doing. So Movember, a great movement, a great cause... they're doing great work, but Scott, it's about the drinking and the silly facial hair. So
I totally agree. So let me go through the bars that you'll be going to for our pub crawl, in essence. We have No Way Jose Cafe, Stalking Horse, Rope Walk Tavern, Mother's Grill, and Nobles. And if you purchase your ticket for only $20, you get a t-shirt, you get a mug, and... you get to go and have $2 Bud Lights at all five of those bars. I mean, I can't think of a better opportunity to go out there and support a charity and go get drunk in the process. Frankly, I'd even go back to your tax consultant and say, is this tax deductible? Because if you're giving it to a charity, I think there's some kind of tax donation going on there.
Okay, now you're giving out bogus tax advice and getting the name wrong.
Look, this nose is huge, okay? There's got to be some ability for my Jewishness to come out and...
All right, before we get too far down there, we're really thrilled to be part
down
of this.
There? What does that mean?
All right, we're very thrilled to be part...
What do you want to do? Throw me in some kind of camp or something?
We're really thrilled to be part of the Guzzle and Gobble. Again, it's November 23rd.
It's actually the Gobble and Wobble.
The Guzzle and Gobble is the main event.
Oh, that's fair.
Our portion of the event is the Gobble Wobble.
Okay, that's
now,
fair.
Now, this is going to be 1 to 5 on Saturday, November 23rd.
So that gives us 4 hours to drink.
It'll be enough.
And then we can get back home by 6 o'clock and we can fall asleep for the rest of the night.
We'll pack enough into that. So we're looking forward to that. We will put some links on our site as well as on our social media and point you to the Guzzle and Gobble website, Facebook page, and any other pertinent information that you might need. Come on out, have a good time, raise a lot of money for a really good cause.
Yep. And come out and get some really cool stuff and make fun of us.
Well, there's that. I can think of no better reason to do such a thing.
Right. All right. The other individuals I want to make note of is OBP. And I'd like just to point out some of the awesome merchandise that they're putting out on their site on a day-in and day-out basis. Not just for Orioles baseball, not just for Ravens, but also for supporting the Maryland Terps. You know, I think personally, the Terps have gotten a raw deal this whole season. The fact of the matter is, they started off very strong, and then again, the injury bug hit, and the fact of the matter was, they lost a lot of their top players. Quarterback, wide receivers, defensive backs, and the season is imploding, but they're right there willing to support that team forward and forward. Gentlemen, you get a tip of the cap for me from supporting that absolutely horrible, horrible college football team. March Madness and, you know, Midnight Madness cannot start soon enough. Thank God college basketball is coming, because this is not a college football town.
I will just say, though, that they have some experience with supporting a terrible team.
That's a good point.
This is an MO for the Baltimore / Maryland sports region. We know how to root for losers.
That's right.
All right.
That's why you guys listen to us.
I want to talk about the Orioles and some offseason.
We can talk about Orioles and not Ravens?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I like where this is going.
First of all, let's hit a few of the prime things. We have some Gold Glove candidates that were announced. The Orioles have 6 Gold Glove candidates.
That's a lot. I mean, okay, who are these mysterious men?
All right. We got Davis.
Okay.
We've got Nick Markakis.
Okay.
And then I would like to call these the usual suspects.
Okay.
Weeders, Jones, Hardy, and Machado.
Okay.
So my question to you is, do any of these guys win?
Yes.
Okay, which ones?
I'm going to go with Adam Jones as an obvious.
Okay.
Not so much because he's really good at his position, but because he's got the name recognition.
All right, the name recognition is important, because if you remember the early part of the season, he had some struggles.
I understand that.
He had some high-profile struggles.
But I'm going to go back to the Torrey Hunter phenomenon, which is everyone knows who Torrey Hunter is, so he gets the Gold Glove.
And as we know, it's important to have a good offensive season if you want to have a Gold Glove.
Right. But that being said, I do not think that Chris Davis is going to get a Gold Glove.
No, me neither.
I think he should be deserved for being in the running, but I don't think he's going to get the Gold Glove.
Funny thing about Davis is that we were all worried, or at least I was worried, about his defense. Buck Showalter was on record as saying, look, he's a better first baseman than he's shown. He went to spring training early to work on his defense, and then we all forgot about him, his defense, because he was hitting the cover off the ball. But the thing is that he really turned himself into an above-average defender. You know, maybe not stellar, not a Gold Glove guy, but I would say above average.
You're better than Mark Teixeira.
Better than Mark Reynolds.
Oh, too soon. And the rest of the list, I only see 2 other Orioles besides Adam Jones winning the Gold Glove, and that's J.J. Hardy, who is my hands-down other lock. And then I think Manny Machado is the other individual that actually gets it. I don't think I need to say any further than Manny Machado was absolutely amazing this season. And seeing people play during the playoffs has really given me a greater respect and fondness for how amazing a third baseman we have on our team right now and moving forward.
Yeah, you sound like a homer when you say it, but it'll be
I am a homer.
It'll be a travesty, though, if Manny Machado doesn't win the Gold Glove. I mean, he played at that high level. He blew everyone away.
He blew something.
Right. Yikes. I agree with you that J.J. Hardy is the top candidate in my eyes for the Gold Glove. He also had a good offensive year, which, as we've said, that helps. I ask you this. If not Matt Wieters, who wins the AL catching Gold Glove?
I don't know. I think there's plenty of candidates.
I think there are a lot of great catchers in the league, but I'm not sure defensively anybody in the AL really can beat out Wieters.
You mean in terms of throwing to second base? That might be one situation, but I think there's also an aspect, too, of pitch calling should be playing some kind of role in that as well.
All right, I guess. I'm not sure that there are names out there that are going to blow Matt Wieters away. It wouldn't surprise me to see Matt Wieters get it.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I think Matt Wieters lost a lot of luster this year because of his play at the plate, and that's not just play at the plate behind it, but play at the plate in terms of offensively. And like you said, yes, it's supposed to be for defensive statistics, but offensive statistics oftentimes raise people above and beyond that aspect.
All right.
Derek Jeter!
Yikes. All right.
Sorry, something just came out. Something disgusting and phlegmy and about $100 million worth.
So that's the Gold Glove.
Fuck you, Jeter.
Those winners get announced Tuesday, correct?
Yes, they get announced tomorrow night on the 4-letter network, a.k.a. Boston's home station.
Okay. With that being said, let's move on to the Orioles are in need of a coaching open.
Yeah, Rick Adair left the team due to personal reasons and will not be returning.
Okay, I think they're legit personal reasons.
I disagree, but that's just me.
Okay, he left the team as his father was dying. He spent the last month with his ailing father, and when he came back, decided, either by him or the club, that they wouldn't continue. You're smelling smoke, you're buying into the conspiracy theory?
Basically, yes.
Okay. Let me ask you, what pitching coach is going to survive the job with this staff?
I'm not exactly sure. I can't really say one way or the other.
The Orioles are the team that broke Leo Mazzoni.
Well, he was already broken somewhat.
I'm just saying. I'm torn as to whether a pitching coach really matters all that much. Because, you know, you look at the candidates the Orioles have, and it was, what, three or four guys. And the thing is that it's always the same story. You ask somebody about the pitching coach, and the answer is, oh, he's a good baseball guy. He goes about his business the right way.
Well, can I ask
really,
your question?
That's the bar?
Can I ask you a question? Can you name me the pitching coach from last year's World Series team?
No, absolutely not.
Can you name any pitching coach from any playoff team this year?
No.
Okay. I think this basically proves the point that a pitching coach...
Wait a minute. Isn't Mike Maddux in Texas?
You might be. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Okay, but, I got one.
But that's like a... He was in the wild card game, so that really doesn't really count, in my opinion. That's like a... That's...
Your point stands, though. Pitching coach doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I think it's more just of monitoring player development and making sure you're pointing out certain aspects of, hey, idiot, you're doing this wrong.
What really matters is what happens between the lines. It really is. If the Orioles' rotation or whole pitching staff is solid next year, this new pitching coach is going to look like a genius. If not, he's just going to be another guy that the Orioles hire and probably fire. And really, beyond that, I'm not sure what impact the pitching coach has. Because, again, they're all good baseball guys. They all go about their business the right way. And they're all, you know, a steady influence and all that kind of other crap. It's just, eh.
I mean, I think the real question is, for me, Rick Peterson's name has been thrown out in the past. I think the question is, does Rick Peterson get thrust in there as the pitching coach? Because I can tell you right now, Buck does not want him as the pitching coach.
I'm very surprised that his name hasn't been more of an issue. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There must be some impediment, like the manager doesn't want him. Because Rick Peterson was brought into the organization and by all accounts was doing great work in the minors.
Allegedly.
And, you know, just hasn't
of course, he was brought in for biomechanical analysis to prevent injuries from occurring. And, oh, look, Dylan Bundy.
Oh, please. Dylan Bundy was begging to get hurt. The guy's workouts and his pitching routines from the get-go screamed, I'm going to get hurt someday.
That's a possibility.
I can't wait for my Tommy John surgery.
That's a possibility, and if that's the case, then Rick Peterson should have stepped in and said, you're going to stop doing that! Instead we get, all right, you're not throwing that cutter anymore, because it's going to hurt your arm. And, oh, look, it hurts your arm.
I just can't get spun up about the pitching coach search. I went to sit down and write a blog about it on birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. And I got about two paragraphs in, and I was like, you know, I just do not care enough about this.
Meh. Eh. Yeah. Now, if Palmer was the pitching coach, oh, I'd be all over it.
I'm sure you would.
One second, my pants are already coming off
and
right now.
It would be a sticky blog post.
Oh,
indeed.
My God, it'd be so hot.
So, the Orioles will name their pitching coach very soon. It will be.
I could just see Palmer going out there and ripping the ball out of the guy's hand and just saying, I'm pitching the rest of this game, you shithead.
So they'll replace the pitching coach in short order. Probably we'll get an announcement this week, and we can move on. I think the real question will be what happens after the pitching coach is put in place. Question for you is, do you think that Bill Castro will remain as the bullpen coach under a new pitching coach?
I do think that'll happen.
Okay.
I do think that'll happen.
Just a little bit of consistency?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. Also, in the news and notes category for this week, it was announced that Brandon Phillips is being openly shopped by the Cincinnati Reds. He is probably now the premier second baseman that's available and out there. My question to you is, do you want him?
Okay, you're getting into a difficult situation here because looking at the salary that he is likely going to have to command, I would say... No.
Didn't we already make this mistake with Brian Roberts?
Yeah, it's kind of... But he's not even a Brian Roberts kind of player. He's very vocal. He's very big on Twitter, just like Jones is. I'm not sure if we can have two Adam Jones on this team.
Oh, see, I'm not even worried about that. I think on a winning club, that'll work itself out. And if it's on a losing club, well, frankly, that doesn't matter anyway.
Okay.
You know, we've seen enough characters, good and bad, on losing clubs that it's not really going to make an impact one way or the other if they're not winning ball games. I'm more concerned about what he's going to do on the field, and I'm just not sure he's got a whole lot left in the tank. The other thing is great expense. Yes, he's expensive, and that might drive his trade value down, but the Orioles are still going to have to part with premium talent, and I'm just not sure that they have that premium talent.
Talent?
In the system.
What talent?
Exactly.
Okay.
I think that when you look at the trades that got made last year for Michael Morris and Francisco Rodriguez, etc., it really showed how empty the stable is in the minors, and unless you're going to get rid of a guy like Bundy or Gausman or Scope, you're just not going to get a whole lot back. So I don't think we have the ammunition to swing the big trade, and I'm not sure that we want a guy that's going to be, what, 32 next year? He's got 4 years and $50 million left on his contract in an age where he's supposed to start declining.
Yeah, I think it's the question of how quickly do you think Jonathan Scope is going to be available. If Jonathan Scope is going to be available this year, I don't see the move being necessary. But if the Orioles think that Jonathan Scope is at least another year away from being the potential second baseman, I think it raises the question of making a move to see what happens now rather than later. So I think the question comes down to, A, can Manny Machado come back in time for spring training? And B, is Jonathan Scope ready to be a major league player at this time?
Okay. I don't think that Phillips is a good match for Baltimore. I think that there will be a lot of people that will be quick to beat up the team for not going after him, but I think those people won't have thought through the whole process.
And my opinion is, I think he would be a good fit in Baltimore, but I think that we can be using the money in better places at this time.
All right, so you bring up the money.
Yes.
How much money is there?
Well, that's a great question.
How much money does this team have to spend next year?
Okay, well, let's go through the numbers. And the numbers are this. So, okay, you can have your eyes glaze over at this point. The Orioles have several people up for arbitration. Jim Johnson, Chris Davis, Matt Wieters, Bud Norris, Tommy Hunter, Brian Mattis, Nolan Reimold, if he's tendered, which he will not be, Troy Patton, Steve Pierce, and Chris Dickerson. All total comes aside is it'll come out to be about $41.2 million worth of arbitration-eligible players, which will tie into base salary players, which is at $45.4 million, which totals a payroll of $86.6 million for 13 players.
I'm sorry, one more time. $86 million for how many players?
13 players.
Uh-huh. And how many do we have to carry?
We've got to carry 40.
Okay.
So after that, and you break it all out, and basically you're looking at pre-arbitration players and them getting basically garbage money, including Manny Machado, it basically will come to be right around $92 to $95 million once you basically have paid off the rest of the 40-man roster, which, you know, last year the team was at $92 million. So without signing any free agents, Brian Roberts, Nate McLouth, Scott Feldman, you're already at $95 million. You're already at where you were last year.
All right. Well, let me ask you, is $100 million the number that it used to be?
Well, no, it's not.
Okay, outside of Baltimore, is it the number that it used to be?
No, it's still not. In 2014, the new TV deals kick in, which was everything being signed for ESPN, Fox, et cetera, et cetera. And every single team was going to be seeing an extra $25 million coming back in TV revenue deals. Now, that being said, people, just because you're getting $25 million back into your payroll doesn't mean the team needs to spend $25 million. We've already been promised that, oh, Mass is going to kick off and we're going to be able to spend more money, but that hasn't occurred yet. This is a situation where, yes, the team is getting $25 million, but could offset certain aspects of paying off certain expenses for the team. What those expenses are, I'm not exactly sure, but this does not guarantee the fact that the Orioles are going to automatically spend an extra $25 million.
Here's the thing. When it comes to talking about the amount of money that the team is worth, the amount of money that the team earns, what Masson brings in, I get really uncomfortable with people who think that they know exactly what the numbers are and think that they understand exactly what it takes to run a ball club. Let me just say, honestly, I have no idea. I have no idea the expenses involved in running a ball club, and I have no idea how much money actually is coming in to the Baltimore Orioles.
The question is Dan Duquette now?
It's a very good possibility. Look, we've all heard the numbers, $146 million from, you know, Masson or whatever it
right.
is. But we don't know. We don't know. And we don't know if those numbers are, you know, before and after or after certain expenses, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to make sure that people are careful about saying, oh, you know, the Orioles are sitting on these huge windfalls of cash and they're not spending it because Peter Angelos wants to lose. Okay, maybe he could be spending more than $92 million. And maybe there is a hard cap somewhere and we just don't know what that is. So I'm somewhat reluctant to beat the guy up over, you know, not spending a zillion dollars. That having been said, this team can't win next year unless they go out and get something more than what they had, which means that the $92 to $95 million where we are right now is insufficient to win.
Okay, I understand that. The point I'm going to make to you is there are teams out there that are spending less and doing just as well. Tampa Bay would be one team right at the top that is spending less money but doing better. The Oakland Athletics are another team that spends less and does better.
And I totally get that, but they've already beaten us in the drafting game. Those organizations are set up so much better than our organization is right now, and we may be catching up, but as I just indicated, with as bare as our cupboard is, not only do we not...
Yeah, to be fair, though, catch-up never wins.
Yeah. Not only do we not have the talent to trade away, we don't have the talent to bring up. Where is the rotation that Tampa Bay has in the Orioles system? It's not there. And if it's ever going to be there someday, it's in the lowest of levels in the minor leagues. The Orioles cannot compete with Tampa and Oakland as the Orioles are currently constructed because they're behind in that model. Sure, we may be trying to emulate that, but to win in 2014, 15, and 16, we simply do not have the tools that Tampa and Oakland have available to them. And the only way that we're going to overcome that is by hoping we get lucky like in 2012, or spend some money and get some free agents. And I'm not advocating that we go and spend like crazy and get diminishing return on investment. Look, I'm not saying that we should be nuts about it. I'm saying that last year proved that we couldn't simply stand pat and move up to that next level.
God, I'm so glad that you went that way because it just walked right into my trap. You just like fell right into it. So I want to talk about...
Distracting me by numbers.
Yeah. We're talking about three players. And specifically going back to the aspect of getting prospects and getting rid of players when you need to get rid of them. The three players that come to light are Chris Davis, Matt Wieters, and Jim Johnson. One of these three cannot stay on this team. In fact, two of these three might not be able to stay on this team, depending on certain financial situations. The fact of the matter is you're going to have to get rid of one of these players. The question is, who do you get rid of?
You got, who was it, Jim Johnson?
Jim Johnson is making $10.8 million. Chris Davis is making $10 million, and he's probably going to be making a lot more than that after this season and after next season. He'll probably be making, you know, $13 to $14 million. And then Matt Wieters is going to be making somewhere in the ballpark of $10 to $13 million a season as well. And then Jim Johnson, just depends on the premium, on the closer market, but I could easily see him pulling $10 to $12 million as a closer. My question is, if you were Tampa Bay and you were Oakland, what would Tampa Bay and Oakland do?
Yeah, they'd trade him away.
They would trade him away. Absolutely. So my question is, if you want to be like those teams, you've got to trade away talent. When are you going to start trading away talent?
That's a solid question. The other thing to keep in mind is, are you actually going to get the value that you should for those three guys? Chris Davis's trade value clearly will never be higher than it is right this second.
That's correct.
Jim Johnson's, not so much. Jim Johnson, I think, has very diminished trade value based solely on his 9 blown saves last year and the way that he just unraveled in comparison in 2012.
Okay. What about Matt Wieters?
Matt Wieters is an interesting case. I really think that Matt Wieters is very valuable to the club, but his offensive production is simply substandard.
But you are considering him to be an untouchable right now.
I think that he doesn't have enough left on his contract to really garner much. I would have to be blown away.
I disagree.
I think
he garners a lot out there on the market for someone to come back and saying, I want him on my team.
I think
once Brian McCann is off the market in free agency this offseason, I think there's going to be a lot of talk about Matt Wieters and someone wanting to get Matt Wieters on their team.
Matt Wieters, I would have to be blown away for. I will say, however, if it looks unlikely that he's going to sign an extension with the Orioles, yeah, maybe you try to move him. The only problem is that, A, you want to make sure you get back what you're supposed to from a deal like that, and B, you need to have at least some plan of a stopgap to replace him until you can bring up another catcher.
Steve Clevenger, baby.
Oh, stop it.
Pride of Fishtown, baby.
The Pigtown. The Orioles have...
Oh, is it Fishtown or Pigtown?
It's Pigtown.
That's Pigtown.
The Orioles have, as a former Pigtown resident, I can tell you clearly. But the Orioles have nothing else in the way of catcher. They have a lot of quantity at this point, but not quality. So I ask you again, what are the Orioles going to do? Are they going to spend, or are they going to hold pat again?
Well, let's go through a few options that they have. There was a report on the most awful website in the world, BleacherReport.com, which described five realistic moves that the Orioles should consider making.
Now, when I hear people say, oh, these are realistic moves, isn't that usually code for this is all crap?
Yes, and it's Bleacher Report, so I can't even believe you're making us talk about this shit.
All right, what can you tell me?
Okay, the one individual they recommend is Kendrys Morales, who is a first baseman slash DH. I'm not even going to discuss this.
Why not?
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Which side of the plate does he hit from?
Who cares?
What side of the plate does he hit from?
Well, he's a switch hitter.
Oh, really? So he's a lefty and a righty, huh?
We have no issues with having a lefty and righty DH.
We have no issues with our DH?
None.
Who's our DH?
It's obvious. It's Danny Valencia and Henning Gurría.
No, you're full of crap.
No.
I'm
not full of crap. Danny Valencia goes against left-handed players, and he's your utility infielder at third base and first base. And Gurría is your fourth outfielder being able to play left field.
And you don't think Morales brings more value to that spot than either of those two other cats?
Hell no!
Give me his stats last year. Okay. And I apologize. I'm going to make you do just the back of the baseball card stats. I know that you want to give me clutch and magic.
I do. I want to give you clutch and magic. Okay. In 2013, Morales hit .277 with 23 home runs, 80 RBIs, and 336 on-base percentage.
Okay. I will grant you that homers and average are really not that important anymore, blah, 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 blah. But that stat line does not sound terrible.
It's absolutely terrible. Let me ask you a question. Who was he batting behind?
I have no idea.
Look, if you don't know that answer, then I can't go any further. But there is dark magic around him. He was around dark magic.
Ibáñez?
Yes, exactly. It's Ibáñez. It's freaking dark magic. And you're thinking that it's oh, we should bring him in. But it's just going to be like Michael Morse. He's going to come in here, and he is going to lay a turd. Moving on, Kendrys Morales, not an option.
Look, I'm not advocating for Morales. I'm just saying that you just completely...
This conversation's over. Moving on.
Dismissing it.
This conversation is over. Gurría, Valencia, red hot.
You're insane.
Okay. Starting pitching, Matt Garza.
That's insane. There's no way we're going to land Matt Garza.
Not happening. I totally agree with you. There's no way that we land Matt Garza.
They call this realistic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Based off the fact that Tim Lincecum got $17 million per season, there is no way in the world that they're going to be able to afford Matt Garza. Matt Garza is going to get like $15 to $18 million for being a subpar pitcher right now. And it's going to be an absolute, something that the Orioles would never do. He's going to ask for 3 to 4 years, and the Orioles are just going to go, no thanks. So, Matt Garza... Love to have you. We're not going to be able to afford you. Moving on.
All right. Let's go on. They then say that we should look into the relieving corps. Who do they want to put in the bullpen?
They recommend going out and getting Grant Balfour.
Okay. Well, from just a semantic level, I am uncomfortable with putting a guy in the bullpen whose name is Balfour.
Balfour!
That is not okay.
Okay. Here's the situation. After the Kevin Gregg and Gonzalez mishap of going out and spending a lot of money on relievers, I'm going to say this right now. Don't buy relievers. Spend money on starting pitchers. That's all.
I wish I could argue with you, but you're right.
Okay.
All right, what else have they got for us?
They also suggest maybe going out and getting Jason Vargas, who actually the Orioles were rumored to be looking at during the midseason point for a trade. And, okay, it's Jason Vargas, but again, he's number three, number four, number five pitcher. Orioles really need another one?
Yeah, I think number three is generous.
I agree with you about that.
I don't think that Vargas is a guy that we need. No, the only thing that he has going for him is that he's that guy and he's a lefty, because most of our middling pitchers are in that area are righties. But no, I don't think that we need Jason Vargas either. I think that we're going to get just as much from a guy like Miguel Gonzalez if his stuff is together.
All right. Then there was the last suggestion, which was return to former Orioles. They recommend going out and getting Nate McLouth, Brian Roberts, and Scott Feldman. Okay. Brian Roberts, it really comes back to the whole question of what's the health situation and when do you think Jonathan Scope is? I can definitely see Brian Roberts making a return to this team depending on how certain situations roll out of health-wise and whether they think Scope is available.
Sure.
Nate McLouth, if Nate McLouth is looking for 2 years and $10 million, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if he's worth $5 million a season.
I don't think so either. And the thing is that, you know, he showed that he was great at the beginning of the season when he was being used as a platoon guy and he was being kind of protected against, you know, being exposed. But once he started going more frequently and was exposed, that's when you started to see some weaknesses. And I think that's what really damaged his value last year. I like Nate McLouth. I wouldn't be upset to see him brought back, but he's either going to come back on the right terms or he won't be here.
I'm thinking like 2 for 6, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't go any higher than 7-5.
Yeah.
I think that we've talked Brian Roberts to death.
Brian Roberts watch!
Yes, with Manny Machado going to be down. I expect him to miss opening day and the start of the season, which I think will be a combination of Ryan Flaherty and Danny Valencia playing third base. And as such...
Fuck you. I think bite your tongue.
I think that opens a hole for Brian Roberts.
Are you fucking Nazi or something like that?
I think it opens a hole
for
Brian
Roberts. Just make my daughter cry some more, okay?
Oh, I will.
Okay.
I will. It opens a hole for Brian Roberts, and I think under the right contract, he will be back. Feldman. I feel like Feldman is going to be heavily sought after in the offseason. And I like Feldman. I think that he was a good professional veteran presence. I saw him pitch some real gems where he didn't have his best stuff, and he, you know, kept the team in the game, and he really battled, and I respect that, but I don't want to spend a lot of money for that. I really don't. So if he's not willing to come back on a bargain deal, but if he's not willing to come back for a league average deal, I don't want any part of that.
I think we get Feldman back. I think it's going to be a cheap deal. I think you're overestimating the market for Feldman that's out there.
You always need pitching.
There's plenty of other pitchers out there that are... Bronson Arroyo is still out there, to be honest. If I had a choice between Arroyo and Feldman, I would go with Arroyo over Feldman any day because, again, it's just consistency and reliability. Not a great pitcher, but a pitcher that never gets hurt and is willing to put up a ton of innings. There's just tons of other pitchers out there that, you know, scream better pitcher than Feldman. So I think Feldman's back with this team for a dirt cheap price, somewhere in their ballpark of $4 to $6 million per season.
Okay. I hope you're right.
He fits the spot where Tsuyoshi Wada was last year.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take that as an answer.
But again, let's give consideration. Let's say Brian Roberts comes back and signs a $4 to $5 million deal. And let's say Feldman comes back and signs a $5 million deal. That's $10 million on top of what you just spent.
Did you say Brian Roberts a $4 to $5 million deal?
Yeah.
No.
Incentive laden?
No. I don't think he gets any more than $2 million.
I think he gets $2 million base, and I think it's an incentive laden deal that can go up to $4 to $5 million.
Well, I'm glad you're not signing the checks.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's what they'll eventually work out because it's Brian Roberts. How can you say no to that face? And his wife.
You bring a fair point.
All right. God, his wife is so hot.
Are there any other free agents out there that you just must have?
That I must have? Yes. With no paycheck or what?
Well, no. I mean, you know, for the value and all that other stuff. Is there anybody you absolutely, oh my God, we've got to go out and get this guy? I'm going to bail you out of here. I don't see anybody like that on the market.
There's only one player that I would really like to have.
All right.
And that's Shinsou Chu.
too expensive. I think he's going to command way too high a salary.
After seeing what Hunter Pence got, I tend to agree with you. That's the only player that I would be really interested in saying I want to try to go out and spend some money for. But I will see on you about this of I think he's going to make way too much money for the value that he is. I think he's a really good player. I just think he's going to get paid way more than he deserves. I think he's going to get like $14 to $17 million a season.
Yeah, and that's crazy. And the thing is,
it's almost like a right fielder for the Baltimore Orioles making $15 million a season.
He's on the wrong side of decline. It's just, it's a bad...
Are we talking about Nick Markakis or Shinsuo Chu?
Yes.
Okay, just want to be sure.
I think Chu is just a bad situation waiting to happen. That's the kind of contract that the Orioles get themselves into.
It really like is. Signing Nick Markakis to certain contracts?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
I just am really disappointed that I'm not going to be able to say Shinsuo Chu.
You can't say the season. It now, for God's sake.
Shinsuo Chu!
All right, let's move on to the last Oreo-related topic. Let me ask you this. Do we care at all about the Arizona Fall League?
Well, you've got Jonathan Scope down there, Henry Redia, and Eduardo Rodriguez. And
some other guys. I don't even know.
I can tell you right now, based off of what I've been reading and hearing, no, I don't care. Yeah. No, I just don't care. Just stay healthy, boys, and come back and be ready for spring training because we might need you. I have no interest. Sorry.
Yeah. Done. I know that this is a dead period for baseball, and so you know people are reporting on the AFL, and they're expecting me to care. I can't. It's like, you know, I think Miguel Gonzalez is playing in Venezuela. I don't care. I don't care how he's doing in Venezuela. It's not the level of competition that he's going to see here in the AL East. I don't care. That does not move the needle for me. You can talk all you want about how Jonathan Scope is going to, you know, blow up the AFL, and even if he does, great. Swell. That doesn't do anything to tell me how he's going to play against the Yankees and the Red Sox. Great. Okay.
Okay. Quick break. We'll be right back. But I want to talk about some predictions that we have. All right. We'll be right back.
And I just gotta keep insisting, oh baby, you sure do swing.
When it comes to kissing, I just gotta keep insisting, oh daddy, you are the king.
Baby, you've got me beat up and down, inside out and across.
Yes, we're back, and we're gonna do a little fantasy boss. And
is that the melodious sound of Brian Setzer and Gwen Stefani?
Yes, you get that for the rest of the offseason because you were the champion this season. So we're gonna do a little fantasy boss, kind of to close out the baseball season, and it's gonna be a World Series edition. So yes, we're gonna have to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals and the Boston Red Sox, and it's been a really crazy. World Series.
Dude, World Series, go home. You're drunk.
Yeah, it's been pretty drunk from the obstruction call to Googate to, bringing in Lester for the eighth inning. Lester, yeah.
It was also weird because it was like the first World Series game to end on an obstruction call, and then the very next night it was the first World Series game to end on a pickoff.
Yeah.
Like, what's next? What are we going to have next?
I'm thinking terrorism.
All right, that's enough out of you. The series is very interesting.
It's the first World Series game to end on terrorism.
I got to tell you, the World Series has been very entertaining. I think the games have been very good, with the exception of the first one. They've been, you know, pretty tight, pretty closely matched. But here we are. As we sit tonight, the Red Sox are up 3-2. Which means that really there are only three outcomes that can happen at this point. One, the Red Sox can go back to Fenway. They can take the game, take the series in six. The second outcome is that the Cardinals can win game six and then take the series in seven. And then the third outcome, obviously, is that the Cardinals could save themselves in game six and then lose it in game seven. So, Scott, I'm going to beat you the punch. I'm taking the Cardinals in seven.
What?
Taking the Cardinals in seven. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I really believe... Because
you're a moron?
No, I believe that this Cardinals team has every chance... No. No, I don't. I can't pick the Red Sox. That's all.
Okay, well... I failed to let you know that in that underlying message at the end of the Fantasy Boss that you really weren't listening to and you were dancing to, there was a subliminal bet that was put in.
Oh, I see. A subliminal bet.
Yeah, because we really can't like be counting things during the offseason, so... I was trying to figure out, like, how can we, you know, keep it entertaining? And the best way I could figure out is, we're going to be at this event on Saturday, Baltimore Sports Report Cornhole Tournament. Go sign up. And I think the loser has to drink. So what we're going to do is, the loser of this bet has to drink something that the winner gets to pick. So maybe it's a Gin Palmer. That'd be pretty nice.
That would be nice. We're not that nice.
No, maybe it's a fuzzy nipple. It's not so much.
We're not that nice.
Yeah, maybe it's an Irish car bomb.
Okay, we're getting closer.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Maybe it's an Irish car bomb with some peach schnapps and some Goldschlager in it.
Yes. Are you going to make me drink absinthe? Like, what is this?
Absinthe's not that bad, actually.
All right. So, I have gone on record for saying that I can't support the idea of the Red Sox winning, so I'm picking the Cardinals in seven. Scott, your pick?
I'm taking easy money. Boston has been cheating the lights out. From Goo-gate to rubbing all kinds of stuff all over the back of your hair to, well, let's be honest with this, David Ortiz hitting over 700 for the World Series. If that doesn't scream juice, I don't know what does. Boston, congratulations on cheating yourself to a World Series. We all know that you were the ones that placed that bomb out there during the Boston
Stop
Marathon.
Stop it. Oh, my God.
Too far?
A little bit.
Okay. All I'm going to say is, Game 6, Boston clinches it, and we are all serenaded with another drunken Neil Diamond serenade of Sweet Caroline.
Stop. Oh, my God. Has there been anything worse than watching David Ortiz play in this series?
Sweet Caroline!
The worst...
Bum, bum, bum!
The worst part is watching him swagger after he gets a hit. And the thing is, if there was any justice in the world, you know, after he hits a double, he would get stranded. But, you know, last night he got driven in, and I was just like, God, I hate you so much.
Well, I like how his teammates have gone this series and said... We've stopped calling him Ortiz and stuff like that, and we just started calling him Cooperstown. And I keep thinking to myself, yeah, I don't think they're going to let him into Cooperstown with some steroids in his background. But, hey, you know, big deal, so who cares? I'll tell you what, David, why don't you go to the phone and wait for it and pick it up when it rings? Oh, wait, you've already busted it open, so it's not going to ring very well.
You're a really big fan of David Ortiz and the Red Sox in general, aren't you?
David Ortiz, it would have been nice for you to get wiped out in a hurricane or a tsunami. That's all I'm going to say. You probably would have floated, though.
This is...
Based off all that fried chicken in your belly. I bet you like fried chicken.
This is the worst you've been in a while.
What can I say? It just comes out of me when I think of David Ortiz. I think everyone's going to agree with me. They're going to be like, you know what? I can't really hold Scott accountable for this. David Ortiz, he is almost public enemy number one in this town.
Okay, so Fantasy Boss ends this this season with me picking...
With a boom, with a bang, basically.
Geez, with me picking the Cardinals, you picking the Red Sox, and we will see, as they say on the Masson promos,
who will own it. All right, with that, I think we're going to close out tonight because we're running very long.
And you are running very violent.
And I'm running very drunk. And we're going to take... off. We'll come back in 2 more weeks, and at that time I think we'll break down what is occurring. We'll be getting closer to winter meetings at that time. Free agency will have started, and well, who knows, maybe we'll talk something a little bit more cultural, like music.
Okay, you're really trying to avoid the Ravens at this point, aren't you?
Look, there's plenty of talk on the Ravens on sports radio on a day in and day out basis. I refuse to subjugate the rest of this Baltimore sports community to more Ravens talk. This is people's outlet to come and talk about Baltimore Orioles. So this is our sanctuary. This is our nest. Don't come invading this nest.
Did you just call this podcast a nest?
It did. I did, yeah. So
you need to sleep this off. All right, with that, we are going to wrap.
I'll sleep this off with you, baby.
And Baltimore and beyond, I bid you a fond... Adieu. Adieu.
Good night, Baltimore.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.